Well, if you have your Bibles open, it's Psalm 126. This is the scripture we're going to consider today. Some of us will remember the name of Terry Waite back in the 1980s, the Archbishop of Canterbury's peace envoy to the Middle East. And you'll remember that Terry Waite went there to make peace, but actually got caught up in war, was captured by extremist Muslims, and spent over 4 years chained to a radiator. We've felt the last 3 months have been tough. 4 years chained to a radiator, just let off to go to the toilet from time to time. How miserable a life that must have been for that man. And yet, eventually the time came when he was released, and that very emotional moment came when he walked down the steps of the plane and back onto English soil again, having been released by his captors, and Mr. Waite is still very much alive today. And that sense of relief, of coming back from a place of exile, is the tone here of this psalm, Psalm 126, that we have been thinking about, that we read about earlier in the service. We've all become familiar with the term lockdown, but the Israelites have been locked out of the promised land for almost 70 years, just as we have been conscious that we have been locked out of our meeting house in many ways over the past 3 months. But this psalm now is written by people who are able to come back. They had been sent into exile because they had sinned, they had been idolaters, they had been unfaithful to the covenant, they had been immoral. They had, in all sorts of ways, disobeyed God. But then came this moment, and we'll mention it later on, when they were freed from the captive land, 1,000 miles away, and they were allowed to come home, and this Psalm 126 is the song, the psalm of celebration, as it were, of these people as they come back from being sent away into the far-off land. I want to just take three simple headings out of this psalm today as we apply this to ourselves, for we are back from exile in many ways. First of all, I want to say that they're telling us to enjoy the moment, verses 1 and 2. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. We were like men who dreamed. We thought we were dreaming when we heard we could go back from exile. I don't know about you, but when I heard that we were being allowed back into our meeting house, my heart was thrilled that we could yet again, as a family of God, gather in this place. And it felt like a dream. Can this be true? That they're actually letting us come back together again? And that's why in verse 2, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. And I hope today as you come together, you're glad. I hope you're feeling as if, is this a dream? We're actually here. Because that is the tone, and it is right today that we enjoy the moment. Because there is something about God's people coming together that is not found on Zoom or on Facebook or on YouTube or whatever media you may have been using over the past 3 weeks. But what is it? Some people have been tempted, I know, to stay at home. Somebody was saying in the prayer meeting before the first service that they're getting very comfortable at home just watching the videos. And I know some people have been watching them in their pajamas with their cup of coffee. And I've been hearing this, and maybe why not just stay at home? It's easier, it's more comfortable, there's not the same hassle getting the kids out and all of that sort of stuff. Well, what makes it different is the word koinonia when we come together, the word that means literally fellowship. Remember in Acts chapter 2, the early church gathered together and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and to the breaking of bread. Fellowship is a word that means, yes, fellowship at a horizontal level. There's no tea or coffee afterwards or before, so we can't do fellowship in that sense. But fellowship is most of all fellowship with Christ. It's vertical. It's not just horizontal. And that's what's missing in Zoom, or that's what's missing on Facebook, that's what's missing on YouTube, the presence of Christ amongst his people. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, he said. And we don't find that in a virtual online context. We used to sing the little chorus, Jesus, stand among us in thy risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. And Jesus stands in the middle of his people. Jesus stands in the middle of the fellowship to receive our worship, to teach us through his word in a way that just doesn't happen online or in a virtual context. Because you remember God's people, they're a people, a priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We're not called to be lone rangers. I've been watching Ben Fogle, Lives in the Wild, as it's called, over these past months. And he's been going back to people that he had done programs on sometimes years ago. People who were living on desert islands, or people who were living out in the Sahara, or people who were living in the swamps in Mississippi. People who just wanted out of the rat race and wanted to live on their own. Sometimes as Christians, we get that sort of a mentality. I'm happier just on my own. Why do I need to go to church? Well, why you need to go to church is because Christ stands in the presence of his people and we fellowship with Christ as well as with the people of Christ. So enjoy the moment. The second thing we find here in verses 2 and 3 are that we should give thanks to God. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. I wonder, who is it that's given us permission to come here today? Is it Arlene and Michelle? Well, in one sense, yes, it is. Is it Boris Johnson? Yes, in one sense, it is. Who allowed these captives to go back from Babylon? It was King Cyrus. King Cyrus issued the decree, but King Cyrus was a kind of a modernizing ruler of Babylon, who previous rulers in Babylon, they believed in bringing peoples into Babylon to work as slaves. And that's why in Psalm 137, you get the words of the people of Israel in Babylon when they were slaves by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the trees, we hung our harps and we said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The song of slaves. But Cyrus, this new enlightened king, this modernizing king, he issued this decree that the slaves could go back to their homelands, and the Jews went back. But where did Cyrus get that idea from? It was put into his heart by God. God gave permission for them to go back into the land. And that picture of returning from exile is an important picture in the Bible, because we can sometimes get ourselves in a far-off place. We're born in sin and we're shaping in iniquity. We are born in a far-off place. And sometimes, isn't it true, as Christians, we drift. Maybe you've been drifting over the past 3 months and you've gone off into some far-off place, some impure land, or being with some people who really aren't that helpful to you in your Christian faith. And God's will, God's plan, is to bring you back again from exile. This is, of course, our gospel, isn't it? You know the hymn, there were 99 that safely lay away in the mountain, wild and bare, based on the parable of the 100 sheep and one lost sheep. And the shepherd in that parable, he didn't say to himself, like an accountant might have said to himself, well, I'm going to cut my losses here. I've lost one sheep. I'll just be happy with the 99. He went off into the far-off land to search for the sheep. And when he found it, he put it up on his shoulders and he carried it back home again. And Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And our gospel is about our Savior who came down from the realms of glory to seek and to save the lost. And you may be today unsaved, and you need the Savior to come to save you, well, ask Him to save you. And you may be saved today, but really, lately, spiritually, you're lost. Ask the Savior, and He will save you and deliver you and bring you back to Himself again. There was a one-time bishop of the Lutheran Church in Norway. His name was Bjørn Bø, I think is the pronunciation of it. He was conducting a service one day in his church, and he was just about to pronounce the benediction when a lady at the back stood up and started to shout. She came to the front of the church down the aisle. Her voice broke the silence. He was watching her. She was a young woman in her 30s. She was disheveled. She was drunk. And she started to walk towards him with her arms held out. She was shouting that she was a sinner, that she was a prostitute, a drug addict. And she was saying to the bishop, "Bishop, you said at the start of the service, you're welcome, people are welcome. Well, is there a welcome even for me?" It's John Stott who tells this story because he was the preacher that night. And he said everybody was watching this encounter as this woman got closer and closer to the bishop. What would the bishop do? And Stott tells about how the bishop just opened his arms and just embraced her and spoke to her of the love of Christ in front of everybody in the church. And isn't that our gospel? That our God welcomes sinners. Our God welcomes the saved who have slipped off the narrow way. He welcomes them back as well. And if you need to come home today, well, come home from that far country, from that place of exile. Say to the Lord, "Lord, I need to get my spiritual life back on track again." Or, "Lord, I need to be saved." And today's the day. I'm going to put it off no longer. So enjoy the moment. Give thanks to God. Lastly, plant for the kingdom. Because things are different, aren't they? And things are not the same, and they're not going to be the same for quite some time. There's probably, as well as the schools being off, there'll probably not be creche, there'll not be children's church, there might not be BBGB for a while, no youth work. So what does that mean? Does that mean we do nothing? If you're a Christian today and you're asking, "What can I do?" Well, does that mean I just do nothing? Look what these people did in Psalm 126. "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." These people came back from exile, but they didn't just sit and say, "Well, right, we're back, that's it." No, they sowed, they planted, they reaped. They got busy in the work of sowing and planting and harvesting. Here were people who threw themselves into building up the kingdom. Could I suggest that you and I plant for the kingdom as well? Is there some person you could make a significant impact on for the gospel? Maybe your next door neighbor. Maybe your colleague at work. Maybe someone in your family. You could do an act of kindness, perhaps. Maybe a cup of cold water, Jesus said, given in His name, matters. Is there someone you could cut their grass for? Someone you could do a bit of baking for? Some practical step? Because often, isn't it, it's kindness that speaks to people more than our words. They'll not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Could you speak words to bring hope to people, to bring encouragement to people? When the children were doing their rainbow competition, I gave every prize winner, they were all prize winners in the end, everybody got a box of Maltesers, and everybody got a book. And the book was one of the Jungle Doctor books written by a missionary doctor called Paul White, who was a missionary from Australia. He used to warn about the Vinegar Club. The Vinegar Club. V-I-N-E-G-A-R. Vindictiveness, ill will, nastiness, envy, gossip, anger, resentfulness. It's easy to plant those things. Isn't that what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6? We read from it earlier, that we're not to sow to please the sinful nature. So I thought, well, if you don't join the vinegar club, let's think about the please club. This is my thoughts. Please, P-L-E-A-S-E. Could you speak and plant words of peace? Words of love? Words of encouragement? Words of appreciation? Words of spirituality? Words of empathy? I wonder, is there some person you could use your words to minister, and most of all, to share the gospel with someone? To take your opportunity to speak of Christ, to drop the name of Christ into a conversation. Did you see the young couple on the BBC last night? Just got married yesterday in Sheffield. And they interviewed them on the main BBC news. Wow, what a witness. And the young man spoke about how they didn't live together because they didn't believe that that was the right thing to do before God. And then he spoke about their marriage, and he spoke about how marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And he started to talk about Jesus. This is broadcast across the nation. What a witness. Just dropping in the name of Jesus to the conversation. It was lovely. Such an encouragement. It really warmed my heart. And who knows, if you or I drop in the name of Jesus, we plant words of peace, of love, of encouragement, of appreciation, of spirituality, of empathy, what God will do with them. What God will do with them if we're open to the working of His Spirit. As we finish, notice how he says in verse 4, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the desert. In other words, we can do so much, Lord, but you have to move. You have to move. Restore our fortunes like streams in the desert. Streams in the desert, when the rains came, it was a sign of blessing. It was a sign that God had provided rain from heaven. And even in unexpected places, in unexpected ways, God is able to work. And we should never limit God, but keep praying. Never doubt God. Keep praying for an end to the epidemic. Believe the promises of God. And who knows how God will move? Who knows? But today is a day to enjoy the moment. It's a day to give thanks to God. And it's a day to say, I'm going to plant for the kingdom. I can't do what I want to normally do, but I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to plant for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the psalmist, for his words, his song of celebration coming back from the far-off land. And we thank you for the encouragement this is to us today. And we thank you, Father, for how we are reminded of what the gospel is like and what it's about, and how we can enter into what you're doing. Help us, we pray, Father, to be people who watch out for what you're doing, and then we follow after you. We think your thoughts after you. We do your deeds after you. We follow Jesus, who said, take up your cross daily and follow me. May we be followers of him, for we pray and ask these things in his name and for his glory. Amen.